Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Reading Project Podcast. I am so excited today to have Mindy Van Zuiden joining me. She's a wife and homeschool parent. She owns Tutorberg, a private dyslexia center which provides professional development, advocacy, educational consultations, and tutoring, as well as serving part-time with the Mid Prairie Homeschool Assistance Program as the dyslexia specialist. Mindy is the president-elect for the Decoding Dyslexia Iowa Board and serves on the advisory council for the Iowa Reading Research Center. Mindy has taught in public school for nearly 20 years. She holds an undergraduate degree in K-12 physical education, a master's degree in education leadership, and is a certified dyslexia specialist through the University of Florida. She also holds the Iowa Dyslexia Specialist Teaching Endorsement. Mindy's discovery that her youngest son had dyslexia led to the eye-opening realization that she and many of her family members are also dyslexic. So I think you're really going to enjoy today's episode. Let's dive in and start chatting with Mindy. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to season 4 of the Reading Project Podcast. I'm so excited to be launching the 4th season. I can't even believe it, but here we are. So the Reading Project Podcast is hosted by yours truly, Ashley DiMercaro from Your Reading Tutor, LLC. I'm a private reading tutor, podcaster, virtual summit host, and business mentor. I work with students in grades K-8, usually, and I offer homeschooling support packages. I'm also a wife and homeschooling mom to my 2 kiddos. My mission is to help families, caregivers, and educators build stronger and more confident readers one episode at a time. I want you to know that you don't have to be a teacher in order to help your struggling reader. I'm here to help with book suggestions, homework tips and tricks, mindset work, tools and ideas for tackling reading, writing, and spelling work at home. And I'll be bringing in guest experts to share their wisdom as well. I have some great new episodes planned for you this year. You can expect new episodes twice a month this season. This season, I'll be talking about banned books, graphic novels, building reading fluency, reading challenges, and so much more. Watch for a new style of episode where I do a deep dive into a student and family profile and talk about how I would approach helping the student and family. When you're listening this season, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, and follow me on Instagram at Your Reading Tutor, or send me an email at ashleyd@yourreadingtutor.com. And we'll make sure to include the links to those things down in the show notes. All right, let's dive in to season 4 of the Reading Project Podcast. Let's go. All right, everyone. Thank you so much, Mindy. Welcome to the Reading Project Podcast. I'm so glad you're here.
Ashley, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
All right, let's jump in and start talking about homeschooling and dyslexia.
Yeah, so I'm a homeschool mom. And one of the reasons I chose to homeschool my kiddos is because both of them happen to be dyslexic. And our teacher preparation programs here in the state of Iowa, where we live, are not all are created equal. We found that a lot of teachers don't know what dyslexia is or how to remediate it. And after talking about the science of reading with our local school and the research behind how brains learn to read, it was very clear that my children weren't going to get all of the information that they needed within the current constructs of the public school system. So even though teachers do the very best that they can do, following carefully what they're taught about how children learn to read, I don't know that our teacher preparation programs have all the facts yet. And so it was important to me in our journey to go back and get some more education. So I went back to school and learned about dyslexia and then had the opportunity to bring my kids home to homeschool. And I realized that that's not everyone's opportunity, right? And so I developed Tutorberg, and the Tutorberg's Pact is training today, preparing for tomorrow, by providing professional development, advocacy, and consulting, as well as tutoring to students, simply to provide resources and access to information for all of the stakeholders involved, from teachers to parents, all the way down to the students and their individual learning needs.
That's fantastic. So I'm curious, like you said, not every family has the opportunity to maybe go back to school and learn all about dyslexia. So have you encountered families who are homeschooling and their kiddo has dyslexia and they themselves, they do not have this background in how to support and how to, really remediate the dyslexia?
Since dyslexia is often genetic, we find that parents can often be carriers of dyslexia as well. And so, when that's the case, not only do they maybe not have the ideas of how to remediate, they may not even have the skills necessary to remediate. So, one of the things that I found as an excellent resource is through our state's Decoding Dyslexia. And I know that there's a decoding dyslexia in every state. So, regardless of where you live, you can check out your state's decoding dyslexia supports. And here in Iowa, we hosted a parent conference called the Dyslexia Dynamics, a virtual conference for moms and dads. And we had over 16 sessions on dyslexia with topics that included the basics of dyslexia, laws, how to advocate, homeschooling it specifically, and then mental health and more. And that is available for purchase to any parent anywhere. They don't have to be in the state of Iowa. It's found on the Decoding Dyslexia Iowa website. And the presentation about homeschooling talks about the International Dyslexia Association's definition of needing reading instruction for dyslexic students includes that reading should be systematic, explicit, and it should teach language structure, including phonics. And it suggests Orton-Gillingham with multisensory, explicit, phonemic instruction. And so I gave a ton of resources to parents through that conference about homeschooling as to different curriculum that could be used for parents, as well as different accommodations that students might need, and assistive technology tools that are available to help students along the way.
So that sounds like there are plenty of resources available to families who are homeschooling and, have a kiddo that has dyslexia or struggling with reading. I know often, what is that saying? Is it like what's good for some is good for all? Isn't there like a saying about dyslexia for that? Have you heard that?
Yes, I have. Like, if it works for dyslexic students, it will work for all students. The science of reading really suggests that the way the brain learns best is through this structured literacy style of instruction. And we don't find that all schools are yet offering that style of instruction.
Yes. And if you're out there listening to this episode and you're wondering now, well, does my school offer that? We do have an episode. I'll make sure to link it in the show notes that talks about like how to talk to your school, how to figure out what kind of reading instruction is happening in your school. So definitely we'll make sure you can check that out. So what have you noticed in your work with families and children with dyslexia? Like, have you seen any areas, spelling, writing, vocabulary, decoding, like what areas have you seen like just keep popping up that is like a common thread that children with dyslexia are struggling with?
Yeah, so I love to look at Scarborough's reading rope to see all the different facets that goes into reading development. And one of the areas that Scarborough identifies that is a strand of quality reading instruction is vocabulary. But what I find is that often the curriculums that we are using to remediate reading and spelling, which seem to scream the loudest, often miss the necessary component of vocabulary. And vocabulary is a strand that fits into language comprehension. And if you don't have language comprehension and word recognition, you won't have fluent reading along with reading comprehension. And so if something's missing and we're trying to get kids to read faster and to understand what they're reading, and we're missing one of those valuable pieces of the rope, we're not going to get a complete picture. So I feel that vocabulary often gets overlooked with dyslexic readers because they're focusing so heavily on accuracy and decoding.
Yeah, definitely. I know vocab. We've done a few different episodes on vocabulary because it just keeps coming up for me too. Realizing when you're working with a student over a period of time, and then you realize there really are some big gaps in vocabulary. Words you one might assume, which we should never do, but one might assume the child would already know that word, and they don't. And so really, it definitely keeps coming up for me as well. So you sort of mentioned the impact then when there is this gap in vocabulary understanding or it's missing from instruction. Do you want to talk a little bit more about the impact of that for our students with dyslexia?
Yeah, so if they're focusing so heavily on their decoding and their accuracy and they're not comprehending what they're reading, there's really not any gains to reading. Because what is the point of reading? The point of reading is to understand what you've read. And I find oftentimes when working with students that are decoding well, but don't understand the context or the word that they're reading, they still don't understand what they're reading. So even though we've mastered that decoding piece, they're still at a loss to the understanding of the text. And when we have that switch from learning to read to reading to learn, and we lose a lot of the pictures and a lot of the supports that students are using to understand what they're reading as the text gets more difficult, they're falling behind their peers when it comes to language acquisition and strength and vocabulary and just comprehension in general tends to be falling behind their peers when they don't have the support in the vocabulary area. So the National Panel of Reading identified five key concepts for effective reading instruction, and that program included vocabulary. It paired up along with phonemic awareness, phonicity, fluency, and comprehension. And I think it's really interesting because both fluency and comprehension will both be affected if vocabulary is not at a level in which they can follow along the text. So I find it more valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, how can we help our children, both as educators and as parents? You know, I know you're a homeschooling family, we're a homeschooling family, we probably know dozens of homeschooling families. So, how can we help our children build stronger vocabulary?
So research really supports the use of audiobooks and read alouds for building that rich vocabulary in context. But sometimes that's not enough. At least in my case, I found it to not be enough. My son and his little buddy at the homeschool program that we attend both were just really struggling to get through our literacy instruction because their vocabulary seemed to be lagging. So a fellow mom and I, Jenna Castor, and I put our heads together to develop a system of support for our kiddos. And we call them the Define to Know Visual Vocabulary Cards. And they are beautiful, colorful cards that have words as well as picture descriptions because we know that those dyslexic students really have a strong visual memory. And so we want to tap into their visual memory with these beautiful little pictures. And the words are all decodable, but they're little known words. So they're not words that maybe they don't hear in everyday conversation, but can come up in reading older texts or stories that are written as decodable stories. We often don't use those words in our everyday vocabulary, but they're found very often in those smaller decodable readers. So the cards contain the definition for the parent. There is a set of 60 cards with directions on how to implement them into your everyday teaching, as well as even directions on how to turn them into a game.
That's fantastic. Now, I didn't mention this in the notes, but I'm wondering if you have a set of the cards there with you, if you could give us an example of one of the words.
I do, yes. One of my son's favorites are romp. When the children play, they romp around. And so there's a picture of some kids playing on the front of the card, and the definition is to play rough with a lot of energy. And so it's not a word that we hear real often, but it's something that my son loves to do. He loves to romp around.
Yes, absolutely. My daughter would like that one too. I'm going to hopefully ask you to send us maybe some pictures of them that we
Yeah.
can include in the podcast material so people can see more what they look like.
Absolutely, I'd love to.
So, how has it been using these cards with your own children and your students? What kind of response are you getting?
So, what I've found is if I teach the definitions of the vocabulary words prior to instructing a lesson, these cards happen to align with the Barton reading and spelling system. While they work well with any curriculum, they are specifically designed to go along with each of the Barton lessons. And so, as we enter the Barton lesson and we're reading sentences or stories with these words built in, my students are able to feel like they can see the picture of the story developing in their brains. They see the picture that's on the card, they're applying it as they're reading, and they're really getting a better visual picture of the story in their minds. And I always think about the book Fish in the Tree, about the student with dyslexia that sees mind movies, and she replays everything in her mind as movies, and that's how she kind of processes things. And I feel like our students like to have that visual picture in their mind of what they're reading and what they're understanding. And so to give them a visual image to lock in that vocabulary, I find that they're just being more successful in understanding what they're reading and how it applies to the story.
Fantastic. Okay, so these sound wonderful. Where can people find out more about you, about these cards? Where can they get them and all the
Absolutely.
work?
So I'm on both Facebook and Instagram under my namesake, Tutorberg. And that's tutor as in a tutor in the Berg, Burg, because I live in Williamsburg. So I tutor in the Berg. And I have a website at tutorberg.com, but the Define to Know cards are sold on their own website at definetoknow.com.
Hey, fantastic. And we'll make sure to include links to those places in our show notes so people can check them out. And is there anything new coming up for you? Is there going to be a set two of vocabulary
Yes,
cards?
set two is scheduled to be released here this summer. It is going to align with the Barton Level 4, which is kind of a beastly book. And so we're going to be separating it into two parts, Part A and Part B, with both hoping to release this summer.
Fantastic. That's so exciting for you.
Yeah, I can hardly wait. I've got people asking, they're standing in line for them.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really great. I can't wait to check them out. All right. Well, this has been really awesome. I think you've given our listeners a lot of insights. And while I think families should definitely check out your cards, I think that people listening, if they are unable to get your cards, there is some, like, hopefully they can apply some of what we've talked about with their students. So talking this idea of this visual vocabulary, right? How can we take these words and make it clearer for our dyslexic students?
Yes.
How can we really show them what these words mean? And so that's something I think that any kiddo could benefit from, just these rich conversations around vocabulary. I know sometimes with my children, they will come across a word, maybe they hear it on a show or something, and then I can tell they're like trying it out in their language. And if I catch them using it in kind of like a funny way or it doesn't really make sense, that's just a great opportunity to say, like, hey, do you know what that word actually means? And let's talk about that. And not bad words, just normal words, but they're just using it in the wrong way, So you can say, oh, that actually means this. So, you would say, this sentence instead of that way. I think a word that would fit there, and you can just help them think about words and help them, as a parent, it doesn't have to be like a huge big deal, but if you just try to notice the opportunities, like, when you're having these conversations with your kids, like, what words do you hear them using or misusing, and talking about those words.
Absolutely.
Great. All right. Well, I always like to wrap up my interview episodes by talking about your favorite book from childhood, or it could even be a book that you're just reading with your own kids right now, or you're loving. So, is there a book that you can share with us today?
Absolutely. One of my favorite books to read when I was little is called The Little Old Man Who Could Not Read by Irma Black. And she wrote this lovely story about a little old man whose wife went traveling one time and left him home alone, and he had to go grocery shopping. And he didn't know how to read anything. And so he came home with all these things he thought he was going to be able to eat. And it turned out that they were soap flakes and wax paper and all these things that he couldn't eat. So when she got back, he was not only hungry, he was hungry for learning. And so he learned to read. And that reminds me of a book now that I've found called The Oldest Student: How Mary Walker Learned to Read. And that has just been so exciting to share with my students. Mary Walker was over 100 years old before she finally learned to read. And so I feel like it's very inspiring for students who are tasked with the challenge of learning to read. Sometimes it takes longer for some kiddos. And it doesn't matter how old you are, you can still learn to read. And there's
I
help out
love.
there. It's never too late. Never too late to learn.
Yeah, I love that. I'm definitely going to check those out. I haven't heard of either of those books, so I'll definitely look into those. I know as homeschoolers, that's one of the reasons we homeschool is we wanted to give our kiddos the space to learn at whatever pace it was for them, you know. So if they were able to master addition super quickly, then we would move on to the next thing, you know. But if they needed more time, then we could slow down and take more time. And that's really been the case for my daughter with reading, which has been so hard for me as a mom and a reading teacher. You know, I see the potential there. I see that she can do it. And I just want her, like, just apply yourself a little bit more. You know, so this is a good conversation for me too. I feel like sometimes I have to just take my own advice. Maybe her and I will read these books you mentioned and go from there. So, all right, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Mindy, for joining us today, and I look forward to checking out your cards.
Thanks, Ashley. Appreciate you.
All right, everyone. That was a really great episode chatting with Mindy. I think she has so much knowledge and she clearly has a passion for helping families and students who are struggling readers or struggling with dyslexia to reach their full potential. I loved the conversation about vocabulary because, as you know, we've had many, many episodes about vocabulary, and hopefully you're really hearing how important it is to help your kiddos with vocabulary. And one of the things we specifically talked about was how you can really help your kiddos develop vocabulary with audiobooks, read alouds, conversations about words, having more conversations about words. And then through this amazing tool that Mindy has developed, these define to know cards, these vocabulary cards, you can help your child really visualize these vocabulary words to help them understand them and overall help their reading fluency and their comprehension. So we're going to make sure to put those links down in the show notes so that you can check it out. And I'm really excited because Mindy has agreed to do a giveaway for our listeners. So for listeners of the Reading Project podcast, all you have to do is let me know that you listen to this episode. So you can send me an email, you can send me a message on Instagram, you could take a screenshot and share it at your reading tutor, just tag me so that I know you listened to this episode with Mindy and you'll be entered to win a deck of her cards. So I'm really excited about being able to give you those. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, and until next time, keep reading. Thank you all so much for listening. It truly means the world to me. If you love this podcast and have found it helpful and you want to help us reach more families, you could do one of two things or both. Just take a screenshot and text your three best friends or teacher friends, encouraging them to check out the podcast. Or take a moment and head on over to iTunes and leave us a five-star review. I love reading the reviews and hearing what you're enjoying about the show and how the show is helping you at home. And I'd love to be able to give you a shout out on the show and share your review with everyone. So thanks again. Until next time, keep reading.